Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Local Marketing School. My name is Emily Steele. I am your host and local marketing enthusiast. And today I have an exciting guest named Nola Morris. She's with Thelma's Treats. And I've got to know Thelma's Treats over the years, selfishly. I love their goodies, their ice cream sandwiches. I'll go to a brewery and like specifically not get beer, but look for the ice cream treats, right? Like this is who I am at my core. And so I'm so excited to interview and get to know you and get to share your story. So why don't you kick it off by introducing yourself and a little bit of your background.
Yeah, of course. So hi there and hello. I'm Nola Morris from Thelma's Treats. As you already said, I am Chief Marketing Officer at Thelma's, but I also happen to be the great granddaughter of Thelma and the sister of Derek, who is the CEO and founder of Thelma's. So my background is one story, but Thelma's background is another story. Yeah. I don't know if you have a preference, Emily, on where I get started. I can kind of do both, yeah. But I can kind of share the origin story of Thelma's as a brand and then kind of jump in on my personal like, career background.
Let's too,
if that's cool. Okay, cool. So Thelma, we always said that she would laugh at kind of this whole story. My brother and my mom started Thelma's by taking my great grandma Thelma's snickerdoodle recipe and essentially making an ice cream sandwich out of it and selling those out of a little push cart at the downtown Des Moines farmers market. If you know, you know. And kind of the rest is history, but that's how Thelma's started. From there, we entered retailers in the Midwest kind of one by one and kind of grew a footprint in the Midwest. And now we have a national footprint and we're in over 6,000 retailers across the country. Still handmade in Des Moines. Our entire production facility is in Des Moines and we are very proud of that. We love Des Moines. We love Iowa, obviously. And we're excited about our growth and that we can, you know, do all of that from here. So that's the high level Thelma story.
Yeah.
Real person. She's a real grandma. My mom is real. My brother is real. I'm a real sister. We're a real family.
I love that.
But when, you know, Thelma started in 2012, and so it was, you know, my brother's venture. He got everything started. Obviously, I was around for the ride. You know, I was pushing a push cart. I was giving a sample at a Hy-Vee store, helping launch. That was back when social media really wasn't an understood thing for business.
Yeah.
It was very different than it is now. And so I helped get the social channels started, did all of that kind of on a consultative, you know, sister cheerleader basis for over a decade. And I actually had a career across multiple industry verticals. So I actually started out in the fashion industry. I'll give a little hat tilt to my mannequin in the background. Started in the fashion industry and then found myself, as one does in the Midwest, in the insurance industry for over 13 years and had a wonderful journey across multiple parts of that industry, but specifically with a focus in marketing, social media, digital product development, digital marketing. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to get in a Fortune 100 corporate environment, you get different exposure to marketing, strategy, social media, all of that. Yeah. And so I spent 13 years in the insurance industry doing that.
Cool.
And then the last 3 years were actually spent in the tech industry. Mm-hmm. And then more recently was led a tech organization through an acquisition.
Okay.
And I used that kind of as my milestone that was kind of occurring when Thelma's was experiencing some exciting growth and change and used that as my milestone to actually join Thelma's officially only a couple months ago. So I've been cheerleading and, you know, acting in a consultative basis for, you know, a very long time. And now it's my everyday and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. So what is life as a CMO like? What do you get to focus on day to day?
Oh man. Well, so one of our core values is no one is above the work.
Uh-huh.
That's one of Thelma's core, you heard it here first. Yeah, that's one of our core values. And I say that as a response to your question because obviously we all wear a lot of hats. We're still a small business. We're cranking away. We learn something new every day. So, you know, sure, I'm chief marketing officer. There are standard things that I own. But at a high level, anything that encourages the customer to put our product in their basket. The word basket is kind of a CPG industry term, a grocery term.
Yeah.
So putting our product in their basket, I kind of own that. But of course, there's a lot of other things that happen leading up to that. The sales team is at a high level responsible for getting our product actually on the shelf. Yeah. And everything else is kind of up to marketing.
Yeah.
And so, but because we're small, that means a lot of things. That means brand strategy. That means creative. That means packaging design and development, managing that process.
Yeah.
It means, you know, running photo shoots. It means social. It means having relationships with our brokers. Some of our, we have broker relationships for some of our retailers. And so it means also a really big part of it is understanding retail media programs at each retailer's level. They're all different. You know, we have very different.
Yeah.
The phrase retail media is pretty universally used now, but even now it's still not always used.
Yeah.
And every retailer has different marketing packages you can take advantage of. Every retailer, like any brand, knows their customer and they develop their marketing packages to, you know, reach their customer. And so it's kind of on our marketing. I say our marketing team. It's me and our marketing director, Lauren. So let me paint the picture. I'm not doing any of this alone at all. And certainly have Lauren by my side in doing all of this. So shout out to Lauren. But we have to kind of learn all the nuances of all these different retailers and flex all the time. So, you know, when we're talking to Fairway, that looks one way. When we're talking to Kroger, that looks another way. When we're talking to Meijer, that looks another way.
Yeah.
We have, you know, smaller and more boutique chains, and we have, you know, large national chains. And the way we understand their marketing programs and execute those marketing programs are all very different. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge piece of what I do. But you know, it covers the gamut from brand, creative, strategy, retail relationships. And, you know, I am part of the pitch process. So when we're in the process of, which kind of never really ends, when you're in the process of, you know, pitching your product to a retailer, I am part of those conversations as well.
Okay. So it's a lot.
That was a lot. Here I am like, what do I do? I'm sure you do the same when someone asks you what you do. You're like, well,
today, like some people have this perception, like CEO of a startup, like you must just like work with your board and manage spreadsheets. I'm like, no, at this stage of a startup, it's like all hands on deck. So it's funny the perceptions that like people have. So it's, thank you for sharing that.
Totally.
It provides some clarity, even to people tuning in that are maybe early on in their CPG journey, and they're like, okay, I'm going to bring on a marketing person, like call them whatever, head of marketing, CMO, director, like what's kind of what they do. And like you sharing that is, it's like, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of hats.
Yeah. It's a lot. And you know, you didn't hear any CPG in my background when I explained my history. And, you know, I reflect on, it's crazy the things I reflect on every single day. Like, wow, I learned that, you know, 500 years ago in the fashion industry. Or, oh, I remember this from when I had to do something super structured and strategic in a Fortune 100 environment. Yep. There's all sorts of things that I apply on a daily basis, but I'm still learning the world of grocery, right? Like grocery is kind of a mix of old school and new school. It's kind of coming along and trying to react to the modern customer expectations. But there's a lot of old school stuff that works in grocery, you know, like a classic promotional schedule.
Yeah.
That still works. Giving a sample in a store totally still works.
Yeah.
And that's where I was, you know, we say no one is above the work. You will find me working at all of our summer events because I love it so much.
Yeah.
I love interacting with customers. You will find me in some of our retailers, our grocery stores, giving a sample of an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
It's part of it. I will never not do that. And so that's kind of why I, you know, mentioned our core value as an answer to that question. Cause it's like, we wear a lot of hats, but there's also like just some things that you always want to stay in touch with, no matter how big or small you are or what you do in a day, just to keep you grounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and really understanding that customer and their perception of like, oh, what are they saying? Like, what's changed from probably 2012, 13 to 2024? Like, are people more excited about ice cream sandwiches today than they were? Was it more introductory at that time? And now it's common knowledge. Like, have you seen any of that or heard that through your experience? Like, I don't know. It felt, you know, new to the market in some ways.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like when we kind of hit the scene, if you will, whatever scene, when we hit the scene, you know, it was kind of a unique product. It's, you know, we have to use the phrase cookie ice cream sandwich often because when you say ice cream sandwich in grocery, a lot of people think the classic rectangular wafer with frozen dessert in the middle, which that's a thing. I celebrate that on its own. We love that ice cream sandwich too.
Yeah.
But when we hit the scene, a cookie ice cream sandwich wasn't super common. There were a few on the market. Certainly not one that has a super soft buttery cookie straight out of the freezer.
Yeah.
But once we were kind of getting footing and we had our presence in the Midwest, there was a bit of a trend happening with ice cream sandwiches. More niche, you know, a lot of more like brick and mortar ice cream sandwiches, brands creating them more in super, super, super small batches. And that trend, I think it kind of helped with the category in general, just general awareness, like, oh, I can have an ice cream sandwich as a treat. Yeah. I don't have to have just a pint or just a wafer sandwich. The category has a foothold now, and we're part of that category, and we're excited and, you know, I shouldn't say surviving a trend. I'm not saying that it was like such a wild trend, but knowing that the ice cream sandwich is here to stay, the cookie ice cream sandwich is here to stay, we're excited to be, you know, part of that and to be part of that story. Yeah.
Super cool. Okay. So going back to 2012, like I would love some of these early day like memories to capture because, you know, someone's listening who either has an idea and or like in those early days of being at a farmer's market or like, okay, I've got some legs here. Like, how do I know it's time to like get my own like brick and mortar and or like take it to the next level? Do you have any memories around that time where those like critical events were happening?
Yeah, I think that's such a cool question because there's a lot of times we get asked, do you have a store? That's like, that's the phrase we hear. Like, where's your store? Do you have a store? And that's a normal consumer question, especially when they're experiencing you in such a one-on-one farmer's market environment. And so very early on, you know, we strategized around what is the growth plan? And really it's two paths. It can be both, but it's, do we want to be a small local business with a brick and mortar and see what happens there and maybe, you know, turn into a franchise or grow that way? Or do we actually just want to focus on making a really delicious ice cream sandwich that we know it's right here? It's really good. We trust Grandma Thelma. Her snickerdoodle is the best. Do we want to actually just get really good at making that and make sure that that gets to as many people as possible?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of obviously you have to do that local awareness, that local marketing, that local connection, because you have to start with your own community, right? You have to, here's an ice cream sandwich. Tell me if you like it.
Yeah.
That's how it starts, you know?
Yeah.
So we said, okay, we know our product is good. We're getting good feedback at the local level. We still need to act locally. We will always have that in our hearts. We still need to market ourselves in a local way, but we knew that getting on shelves at retailers was the way that we could make sure that Thelma's gets in the hands of as many people as possible. And so that's the route we went, but there's that constant balance of navigating being in your local community and reaching your people that have been cheering you on from the very beginning. Yeah. We will never forget the first people that walked up to us at the farmer's market on push cart. I have goosebumps because I remember we were like, okay, the ice cream can't, we didn't know what we were doing. Like the ice cream can't melt. We have a push cart, you know, like, it's not like we grew up in an ice cream family or like a frozen dessert family. So we are figuring it out as we go.
Yeah.
And we'll never forget all of those people that, you know, ran down to what booth number are you in on this Saturday? What booth number are you in that? You know, we're coming down. Like, we'll never forget that.
Totally.
And those moments matter most. And that is what really keeps us grounded because we always started with something that meant a whole lot to us and something that we knew was so good that we knew we just want to put smiles on more people's faces. So as we've grown, scaling that is really what we are charged with.
Yeah.
And that's, we kind of call it our recipe for success. So our recipe for success, no matter how big or small we are, no matter where we are, is tell them our story and give them a taste.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
The thing is, we have to scale that.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing when you're standing at a push cart
in
a farmer's market.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Eat an ice cream sandwich. Tell me in real time if you love it.
Yeah.
Give me feedback.
Yes.
And that's how we grew, right? Like that's how we got our hold in the Des Moines market. And then it grew into the Midwest because we could physically go be in grocery stores, tell a story.
Yep.
Grandma Thelma's real. I'm a real sister.
Yep.
He's a real brother. That's our real mom. We use real ingredients. We have real ice cream. That's one of our differentiators outside of the cookie being soft out of the freezer. It's real ice cream.
Yeah.
No shame to anyone else in our category, but a lot of other frozen novelties are frozen dessert. And so we continue to, you know, prioritize those ingredients and make sure that people know that we take that seriously.
Yes.
But we always say that we wish that we could be in all of our markets and give hugs and have one-on-one conversations, and we can't. So everything we do is, okay, how do we scale that recipe for success when we can't be there like we used to be?
Yeah. Okay. So I'd love to double click on that. So let's say, do you remember like a retailer that was maybe a little bit further away than like driving distance, and you're like, okay, we're now in, let's just say Kroger, for example. Maybe it's another example you have, but like, okay,
sure,
it's going to be harder to physically be there. We need to get people to know about us, because I think something that I've really understood, like I am not someone from the CPG space either, right? So I've learned very quickly, like it's all, you have to move the product off the shelves to prove viability to a retailer, correct?
Like that's, you got it.
Yeah. But you also need to generate sales simultaneously for like the growth of the company. So it's two sides of it. So a lot of pressure to kind of stay afloat in one retailer and location, and also like keep growing as a company. So you're in a new location in a new zip code, a new city. You're thinking about like how you're going to reach people and how they're going to get excited to see you in that grocery store or that retailer. What's the approach? Is it the retail media? Is it like a mix of things, maybe depending on the city?
Our hearts want to get in our cars and drive there and give everyone a hug and a sample. So we start there and we like, okay, that's not possible.
Yep.
And yes, it's a mix. Mm-hmm. So our mix includes things at the brand level that we control, that we know that we can do to reach those customers immediately with the retail media. And retail media, typically, I just described, you know, it's different for every retailer. Lead times look drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, I saw one that was a week, and I've already dealt with some that were, you know, 8+ weeks.
Yeah.
And so lead times are very different for different retail media programs. And so even when we know that we're on shelf at a new retailer, sometimes I may have missed some of the lead times that we're cooking before we knew we would actually be on shelf.
Okay.
And so we have the mix. We know, okay, there's some stuff I can control at our brand level that we can do. And then there's things that I can do at the retail media level. What can I do now to reach them as soon as I can during peak ice cream season, which is mostly May through August, depending on what market we're talking about.
Yeah.
Mostly it's May through August. You know, what can we do now? And it's going to sound like you paid me to say this. You did not. I'm saying it. You did not. But I will tell you, I've said this multiple times to the Hummingbirds team. One of the things that I do immediately is get the hummingbirds out. Let the birds loose. It is the quickest way.
Let the birds out of the cage. Have a nest.
Okay, so you know, we can talk about our brand on social. We can do paid social to reach, you know, audiences in those new markets or shoppers of, you know, the affinity belongs to the grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to buy a new product, my affinity is with my grocery store first for a new brand, right? Yeah. So there's limitations on what I can do at the brand level because we only distribute through retailers. We do not have brick and mortar. So if you don't know Thelma's, you don't know Thelma's, but you do know Kroger, you do know Meijer, you do know Hy-Vee. I feel like I need to give shout outs to all of our retailers. We love them all equally. But I can't rattle them off in a list. That affinity sits there with those folks.
Yeah.
So birds help us by saying, hey, I'm a grocery shopper in Milwaukee. And my friends are also grocery shoppers.
Yeah.
They're buying for their families or their partners or their own selves. Mm-hmm. And we send the birds in to make sure they know where Thelma's is and what they, you know, share with their followers and their audiences. And it's authentic, which is the whole point, right? It's not, we respect a formalized influencer marketing too, that there's a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that local, authentic feeling of my friend shopping for groceries, I know she goes to, you know, Meijer all the time. How did she get that? That matters to us. I know exactly where that is on the shelf. I know that it was delicious. And the birds help us tell our story. Mm-hmm. So they help us share Thelma's Reel. It's a real, you know, real family that started the business. It's still handmade out of Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Story and taste. The birds are getting the taste. That is kind of how we've been immediately activating in new markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then longer term, it's just that solid mix, following our recipes for success, but things we can do with brand level. And then that longer term retail media strategy.
Yeah. So retail media, for anyone who is like entering a new retailer, I don't know, like, how does what do you get to take advantage of? What are the things that are offered within like the Myers of the world for you to take advantage of and improve product movement?
Everything.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, there's a decks can re- the decks I receive that, you know, walk through retail media programs are anywhere from like 10 slides to 60 slides.
Ooh.
And you name a tactic, it's in there.
Mm.
So there's on-site and off-site marketing, right? So we are marketing to the consumers actually in the store.
Yeah.
And we, I would say, you know, with our capacity and our size, we usually focus on site. So we know that only 15-ish% of customers are actually buying their groceries online. That's different than a lot of other industries. And so when you're a new brand entering a market for the first time, a new customer is only going to see you and make that purchase while they're actually physically in the store buying something else,
mm-hmm.
especially a frozen product.
Sure. Yeah.
It frozen. Turns out ice cream melts.
I know. Dang it.
It's a bummer.
So
they're going to make that decision in store. And so most of our tactics immediately fall under the, you know, on-site marketing realm. So it might literally be an aisle blade, where there's a sign in the aisle that talks about Thelma's and indicates placement. Thelma's is here,
mm-hmm.
In store monitors,
yep.
in grocery stores. Just anything that we can do to physically reach the customer while they're physically in that store.
Yeah.
So retail media programs span across all digital tactics. You can even work with your retail partners to execute offsite marketing,
yeah.
search, paid search, SEO, all of that.
Yeah.
But we focus on that on-site marketing.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. Like in the category, right? It's like you don't necessarily, you're walking by the ice cream. You're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted ice cream today, but oh my gosh, my kid would love it. What am I going to pick? Right? Like that seems like that'd be my buying behavior. At least like I know what I need, the staples I need at the store. And then everything else is like, what other treats, you know?
Exactly. Because We love it when we hear that we are on the everyday go-to grocery list.
Yes.
That's goal state, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But we are a premium treat, right? So you're actually probably going to grab us when we're the right price, when we're in the right spot, and when you know that we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if we can get the taste and the story in there, that our recipe for success, that's like the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
But that's when you're going to make that decision, right? Like that looks fun. That looks authentic. It's the right price. I haven't seen it here before. Puts in basket.
Uh-huh.
And then it's all about repeating that behavior. But you're right. It's probably not when you're intentionally online picking your bananas, milk, eggs that you're frantically doing, you know, your curbside pickup for.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you're strolling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I've just become, I don't know if this is a trend that I've just like latched onto because of whatever is influencing me on Instagram these days, but I have become like a grocery store girly. Like, I like get me into a grocery store and I'm going to spend like an hour there, like looking at things and like trying to like learn about yes. brands. And I don't think, and it might be a product of being a mom of two very young kids. And I feel like, oh, they're kind of like getting older. Maybe I have more time. Like today's thing. I think like there are really cool brands that are emerging and like really interesting things to eat and discover now. And so I go to the grocery store and I have such a like learning, like, curious mindset of like, oh, here's like the yogurts. Like, I want to understand, like, oh, I think I saw mm-hmm. them featured, you know, by this creator or whatever. And it does, like, it does something in my mind and gets me really curious. So it definitely resonates
yes.
with all what you're saying for sure.
Thank you for being our focus group of one in this moment, because that That's real. You're not alone, Emily. You're not alone. I think, you know, we know that a lot of consumers are doing that. Now, do they do it for enjoyment and do they do it for multiple hours? We don't know. But they are experiencing new brands. You know, they're like, you know, I think every buyer, there are different, you know, generational segments that are doing that. And they're saying, where am I putting my dollar? What brand am I actually giving my money to? Whether it could be sustainability, it could be ingredients, it could be, I want to know that it came from an authentic story. It could be a combination of those things. So they're standing in the aisle considering those things and making their purchase based on those. And so if your brand's not there and if those things aren't really true for them, they're not going to, you know, grab your product. And some of those things I shared are kind of like, you know, baseline marketing concepts, but really that really is in grocery. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You got to catch them while they're in the aisle, and you're immediately, the second they put your product in your mouth, that's when you're building trust and creating that, you know, second purchase. And that's when all of those other tactics, start mattering. And so internally, we actually segment our retailers depending on how long you've been on shelf with those retailers.
Sure.
So we have new retailers. So that's our establishing segment. And then we have the maintaining and growing. Mm-hmm. And we treat all of those retailers. We don't treat the retailers differently. We execute our strategies differently based on, okay, we're reaching a bunch of Emily's. They've never seen us before. Emily is going to stand there and we need to make sure we reach her because we haven't been on her shelf before.
Yeah.
And then there's the Emily's that she buys us when we're the right price, when there's room in the budget, when there's room in the cart. And, you know, you're familiar with our brand. And so we'll reach you in different ways. And that's when some of those external offsite digital tactics come in play, retargeting, all of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the growing retailers that we're in, where we've been around for a long time, we're familiar on shelf, we're feeling good about our placement. That's when kind of that's like goal state where the mix is alive and everything's at play.
Yeah. So fun. So do you find that you put more emphasis on like focusing on geography or retailers, or more of like, because you're in 6,000 locations, is that what you said? Like you're more like focused on like a national brand player? Is it such a mix at this point because you've been doing this now for over a decade?
You know, I think that forever might be a strong word, but I think we'll always be balancing that mix.
Yeah.
But part of that is by choice for us because we want to maintain that local feel. I don't know if local is necessarily always the word for us, but that authentic feel.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to make sure that nationally consumers trust us.
Yeah.
We want them to feel confident in putting our product in their freezer and feeding it to their families. Yeah. And so, you know, but we will never act like a giant national brand until it makes sense to do so. And I think even then we'll still hold true. You will still find me at the Iowa State Fair selling ice cream sandwiches because it's just such a fun time.
Oh, like,
I want to do that till the day I die.
You just did a really like unique brand activation too. And I don't think you will probably do these often, right? It's kind of what you're saying with the bridal shop opening, but it was like the perfect way to meet you first and foremost. Nola's walking around with this, like literally like a tin purse with cold. What did it have? Dry ice in it?
It was my grandpa's vintage lunchbox that he actually used that somehow was in pristine condition.
Seriously.
Yes.
And you had like lunchbox, six to seven ice cream sandwiches in there and of all different flavors. It was incredible. And you just like come up and you open your little, this lunchbox and there they are. But like that to me was like, oh my gosh, like at a local level, nailed it, right? Like the perfect collaboration.
Thank you.
And I imagine like, you can't scale those efforts, but I just thought that was like, oh, such a brand moment for me with Thelma's. And I was so excited to at least mention it today.
Well, I'm so glad you did. And honestly, that's a perfect example of, we always come from a place of yes, right? Because we love our community. And in that case, shout out to the girls at Callen because they're part of, you know, revitalization of a certain area of our community that that's being revitalized. And it's so exciting. And we love that. And we want to be, you know, part of celebrating that.
Mm-hmm.
And we came from a place of yes with that. Now, totally not scalable, totally not something you'll see us doing in other markets that I can't get to, but Are we going to do that to celebrate that in our own community? Absolutely, because that will always be part of who we are and part of how we connect with customers. And that was such a fun thing. And it was lovely to accidentally meet you in person that day.
Just surrounded by beautiful gowns. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't touch any of them. Like, be careful. I mostly still have the mindset of having like a toddler around me all the time. I'm like, don't touch anything.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And I'm carrying ice cream. I'm like, don't spill.
Be very, very careful. I love it. Yes. So that was a really unique activation. I just wanted to call out. But okay. So Thelma is like 2 years, 5 years from now, like any big vision beyond, like, is it mostly like retail expansion, location expansion, like getting more product in people's hands? Like, what do you see?
Yeah. Yes to all of that, but also authentically. Mm-hmm. So we use the phrase low and slow, like barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're, you know, doing things slowly. We are moving rapidly, but we take growth seriously. We consider growth. We don't just grow for the sake of growing. We want to make sure we're reaching customers that are, you know, going to respond well to our brand, where our category is performing well, where our story will resonate. So it's authentic growth. We have to, and growth never at the sake of not being able to tell our story or not being able to put an authentic product on shelf. But we are focused on staying sticky in the new retailers that we've been so lucky to be on shelf with this year. I keep, you know, mentioning Meijer. That's a great one. Has a great footprint in the Midwest and beyond. It's been, you know, we've only been on shelf for a couple months. So in that example, it's great. But, you know, you're not on shelf forever. It's you have to work to stay on shelf and make sure that the customers still know you're there and that they're still putting you in their basket.
Yeah.
So we want to stay sticky. We don't take growth lightly. We want to stay sticky in those new retailers that said yes to Thelma's. Yeah. And of course, we'll always be seeking new retailers in new markets. There are, turns out, there's only so many grocery store chains in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once there's like complete Thelma's domination, we'll be good to go. But even then, you have to, you know, nurture the relationships and make sure the customers know you're still real people and maintain the relationships with the retailers. But I will say, I have to give a shout out to our four packs that we did. You know, our entire story has been grounded in our individual 6 ounce single serve ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
That is who Thelma's is. But we know that a lot of consumers are looking for a multi-pack. In your example, and you said you had two kids. You can't, if you're coming home with one ice cream sandwich, you better eat that in the car before you get home. You also need a box to bring home to your family so they don't know you had your own snack in the car, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So we launched our four pack because we know customers are looking for a little bit smaller of a sandwich with a few in a box that fits in their freezer. So we launched that this year, which is exciting. And we don't take launching new products lightly either. That was very thought through around what the consumer actually wants, what price point it should be, how that changes our production process.
Yeah.
So we are going to be focused on our four packs because we know that our single serve certainly helps us gain trial in a new market because it's, you know, a single sandwich someone can buy in different locations. A single serve is better suited for those locations, but the four pack is something you're more familiar with buying in your grocery store. You see a box of a novelty and you grab it.
Yeah.
And so we're focused on getting those to be really sticky alongside our other sandwiches. And, you know, just being really intentional about our product assortment and that growth and our actual physical growth in retailers.
So exciting. I love, I've learned so much about this space. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we could talk forever. I can already tell we should do, you know, part 2 and 10 of this. This is great because I feel like I'm just on the tip of the iceberg. There's so many other things about our brand that we could share. We have a mystery flavor coming. Maybe I should give her a shout out before.
Absolutely. When is this happening?
Yes. Or if you are in the Midwest, again, it's a great example, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we put a lot of love into our local activation still, and we kind of use our Midwest customers as our sounding boards and, you know, feedback folks for what we're going to do longer term. And so instead of us just launching a new flavor and pitching it to retailers to get a spot on shelf, we're going to actually launch it as our mystery flavor for our summer events.
Okay. How does one go about deciding the mystery? Like, how do you do this? Is it two mystery? You can't even tell me.
I will say everyone heard it here first that that's even a thing on this podcast, on your podcast. So I haven't even really, we haven't really even talked about it publicly that we're doing a Mysteries Neighbor. So that's fun. But we actually follow our regular flavor development process, our regular product development process.
Okay.
But instead of just saying, hey, this is our new flavor, we're actually going to get customer feedback first and see if the flavor that we think it should shine through as is the actual flavor it shines through as for you. And so we will be launching that at a few of our summer events in the Midwest.
Okay.
So if you're in the Midwest, for sure the state fairs.
Okay.
Our Minnesota State Fair, maybe we're hoping for Hinterland as well. We should be sharing that as well. So yeah, if you want to experience the Thelma's Mystery, find us this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Love feedback before we actually give the final name to this flavor and put it on shelf.
How fun is that? I love like a secret exclusive offer. Like nothing gets me more excited than being like, oh, I can try it before anyone else. Like just speak to that early adopter in me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I expect to see you first in line when we are live.
Doors open. We'll be there. I'll bring my kids. It'll be a cool thing. I love it. Well, thank you for spending time with me this afternoon and just sharing the story of Thelma's and really how you approach growth at the local level to scaling. I think it's so, you really shared some very tangible things you've done that I think will really resonate with people who are exploring this maybe for the first time or really trying to double click on their local marketing strategy. So thank you, Nola, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Can't wait for next time.
Yeah. All right. That is a wrap on today's episode of Local Marketing School. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, leave a review in your favorite podcast app, and we'll catch you on the next episode.